Okay, hello. Welcome back to Drinks First Cocktail Hour. Today we have a guest. She is seasoned and has all of the tea from all of the men, which is why she's a perfect guest to be on Drinks First. But I will let her introduce herself. So, Mindy, do you mind just telling us where you are from, where in New York you live now, which I know is a hard question.
It's a loaded question.
And just like how old you are, what do you do?
Yeah, so I am a Scorpio. I am from suburbs of Detroit and then Chicago, and landed in New York about 6 years ago. And now I'm a bit nomadic temporarily and trying to embrace that. I escaped to Miami, like you, back in January, and I just kept extending it. So no offense to New York, because I really miss it, and I'm coming back. So I'll be back the end of May. And as far as what? Oh, the other questions. And Mailroom, we've been doing this for about a year and a half now. We launched on Valentine's Day of last year.
Well, one, can you tell us a little bit about what Mailroom is and how it came to be?
Sure. So basically, Mailroom was my quest to recreate conversations I was having with my guy friends about dating and relationships. And they were just too funny to not share them with the sisterhood. So the idea was just like, I want to sit down with all different types of guys as anti-experts and just understand where they're coming from, because we're confused and it's kind of funny and it's kind of not. And so I've had this idea for years, and then finally I just decided I have to do it. It's too good not to do it. And so I think it's just helpful to get that kind of content out there. And we say, like, a lot of the women that listen to us, we call selectively unattached. So they're not like angry with a bunch of cats, and they're not like eternally single and just traveling with their friends and that's all they need. But they're somewhere in the middle where they're not settling and they're holding out and they're just trying to like understand this strange species of men.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think most of my listeners can relate to that as well. I know I can definitely relate to that. And that's like, you know, partially why I started this as well, is to understand, you know, how other people are going through their dating journeys and lives. Mm-hmm. So you personally, you were in the corporate world or for a while, and now you started your own thing. Can you give us a little background on your career history?
Sure. Yeah. So I have a very corporate background, and I started early days with Ford and Nissan on the marketing side, and then morphed more into like sales and digital and tech. And I worked for Microsoft for many years, but nights and weekends, I had a show with the Chicago Sun-Times when I lived there, which was called Happy Hour with Mindy. And I would sit up at the bar with like athletes, musicians, founders, and just talk to them over drinks very casually and unscripted. And I had zero background in that. I just thought it would be really interesting to sit down and talk to really interesting people and kind of see what the thread is and what they were like growing up or what they were even like in college, and not really asking too many of the business forecasting kind of questions, but more just about who they are and how they got there. And so I loved doing that. And so over time, I kept doing more corporate jobs and kept thinking about this idea. And then more recently, I started a VR AR company, so virtual reality, augmented reality. And we ended up getting acquired almost 3 years ago. So I'm working for that company by day. And then nights and weekends, I launched Mailroom, and I've learned a ton. I mean, in its essence, it's a podcast. It's also a video series, and it's an event series. So we've done events at Soho House and different venues. But more importantly, for everyone else listening, I've started a lot of these things from nothing and not having a background in any of these areas. And so I kind of have this like 1 year rule. I'll try anything for a year. So like the VR AR company, not my background, but knew enough from coming from Microsoft to start something and have the network. And so I just did it. And it was a roller coaster, but throughout it was that 1 year time frame to test it. And similar to Mailroom, I've had this idea and finally just like took some steps, and initial steps were just like, all right, who would be three interesting guys to put together that are really different from each other?
All right. So you were talking a little bit about the three kinds of guys that you have on your show and that you typecast. So what are these roles that you're trying to fill?
Sure. So I liken myself to be an unintentional expert in this, just from many years of market research of being single. Me and my friends, we call it the man scan. So you can walk into any room and basically sort of pick out like, oh, that's the smooth sort of douchey guy. Oh, maybe that's the nice guy. That's his friend. Or, you know, sometimes even guys have their own roles. Like the one guy comes up and says like, oh, is my friend bothering you? So that's like usually like the sensitive guy. So, and then you have like the hipster. So generally it's like trying to pick one of each one of these types and put them together amongst two others. And then you have like real different perspectives.
And do you mix like celebrities with normal people on your panels?
Yes, exactly. So we'll have like one celebrity of some sort, whether that's an athlete or a guy from The Bachelor. And then we want like everyday guys mixed in too. So we try to get a good varietal of gentlemen.
And where do you see like the real perspective shift between like the celebrity and the normal dude?
So it's interesting. The celebrity is typically more media trained. So they're like saying all the right things. And so it takes like a little bit of digging. So like we have one segment called text translations where we have women submit their text and guys will translate them and give advice. And so I find sometimes when it's like more real that the guys will get more real and they have like a good banter together too. So I'm just sort of like, I'm facilitating and I'm asking the questions that we want to know, but sometimes the guys will like out each other as they're like, you know, broing out together. And that's also like the fun of it. So I think in the beginning, sometimes it's like best behavior and no one's like made to look bad. It's all like funny and it's real. So that's what we try to capture.
So have you like, what have you learned like from these men? And I feel like that's a, that's a broad question.
Well, you know what? I get that question a lot. And I found it's like pretty easy to hone in. And also when I tell guys that I do this kind of show, some of them like they want to watch it to see what other guys say. But they're pretty much like, guys are really simple. They're like three things, sports, sex, and what's the other one? I forgot already. And some guys don't like sports. But just like general guy stuff, it seems to be like they think that guys are very simple. And so to me, the biggest takeaway, even just like being in the field as I am, is just like, it should be simple. Like if a guy's giving you mixed messages, there's the message. Like you're not in the same place, or he's not, you know, maybe as interested as you are. And if it's vague, it might be for a reason. So, you know, guys are like action before words. And I think we like as females, like we cling to the words like, oh, during the first date, he's already planning all the fun things for the next date. Like, obviously, it's on. And then you don't hear anything. And I mean, I don't know if we believe this. Some of these guys say, like, you know, sometimes in the moment, I feel it. But then after, it's like, oh, she's too serious. Or, oh. So I don't know that we're saying that these guys are, like, fraudulent during the act of a date. But the fact is, if you as a woman don't do anything, the guy will show you if he's interested or not. And so that's like, I think that's a great tactic, is just like, let the guy show you if he's interested. And the more you kind of chase, the more you can't really like read between the lines. But so guys are just basically like, we're simple creatures. Actions speak louder than words. You know, there's all these rules. Like one guy talks about like the 24-hour rule. Like I will find the time if I'm excited enough about someone. You know, we always have our phones. So there's exceptions. There's like, you know, someone's in the hospital. Great. But like, that sort of feels like one of the only real exceptions these days.
Yeah. And also I feel like when you're in the hospital, you usually have your phone.
True. Like, hey, I'm on my deathbed, but I just wanted to tell you I had a great time. If I make it through, you're like my first call. Yeah, it's true. Okay. I take that back. So there's no excuse, hospital or not.
That So I think it's really interesting that you say that, like, guys will make it clear if they like you. And it goes back to that, like, if he wanted to, he would, which I think to some people is a controversial statement. But I think I am in the camp that thinks that's pretty much true. But
yeah, who would it be? Who is it more controversial to, guys or girls, do you think?
Like, if they wanted to, oh, to girls.
Yeah. Well, that's because we have the hope, you know what I mean? Like, not to discount anyone, because I've done all the things. And I can't say that even after, sometimes hearing this advice, I'm like, in the I'm so doing that. And then you get caught up in, like, actual emotion. So it's not always that easy. But I think, like, if truly this, like, very elusive species is that simple, it's up to us to just, like, move a little faster and just, like, you know, like, there are a lot of options. Even if you're in a city where the ratio is not in your favor, I still think, like, if you know what you have to offer and you're not getting what you want in return, just move on. And that seems to come up a lot with these guys as well. And also, just, like, one thing they say is, like, this is a bit generic, but, like, in being yourself, if you do want something serious, you will, and you say it, you will scare away all the right guys, right? So, like, the slow play of, like, you know, months of, like, let's just get to know each other. I think that's great. But what we've talked about in some of the episodes is, like, in doing that, in months from now, if what you want is a real long-term relationship and they are working through some things or they're younger or whatever it is, like, that may not change. So if that scares someone off, then maybe you're, like, actually scaring away the right talent, you know?
So this brings up an interesting question, because it's advice that I hear put out by, you know, quote unquote dating experts. And in my opinion, no one is really a dating expert, because if you were an expert, you're probably not single.
Right. And if you're married, single, yeah, then, like,
you're out of the really, game.
Yeah. You're not in the trenches.
So I don't like saying that anybody is really an expert at dating, but this conundrum has come up a few times, which is, if you go on a date with a guy and, sure, let's say he pays for it, the next day, do you text him saying thank you?
Okay, so I love that one, because I've had this discussion with my friends for years, and I say no, and here's why. It's like a nice thing. And I will thank you after you reach out. I'm very grateful for the date, and I'm grateful that you paid for it. But if we go back to that same idea of, like, letting the guy show you, I think it's great if a guy's excited enough, and hopefully, you know, you and others have seen this. Like, sometimes a guy will text that night and be like, hey, had a great time. Like, that's a good sign. Or, hey, in the morning. And then I'm so happy to respond back, like, likewise, or thanks so much, like, and thanks for dinner, or, like, that's fine. But I think some friends of mine, don't be mad. If you're listening, like, some friends of mine are like, no, I just do that. It's the nice thing to do. But in doing that, you're not able to see if the guy's interested. Because any guy who's human and normal will write back, no problem, I had a great time getting to know you. And then we take that and say, like, oh, it's on. Like, oh, this guy's so into it. So just, like, I would say, just, like, let the guy show you and then do your thing from there. Because otherwise, like, we get the expectations going, and I know that firsthand.
Do you think it's a double standard, though, for, like, maybe the guy is sitting by his phone being like, why didn't the girl text me that it was a good time? Like,
I mean,
that ever happens, or is that something that's made up in the female mind?
I think guys want to chase at any age, in any generation, like, our parents, my, like, friends that are younger. Like, I just, I think a girl can, like, take the reins for sure. But if you just want to, like, protect yourself a little bit more, how about this? If you're, like, in a great headspace and you're dating a lot of people and you're just like, hey, I had a great time, and you're not, like, attached to the outcome, go for it. Like, why not? But if you really want to see, just, like, I think guys want to be guys to some extent. And I would personally rather be, like, chased than be chasing someone. And So that's just my opinion. And just to your point too, like I'm an anti-expert and so is everyone on the show. So the funny thing is like you said, it's hard to say you're a dating expert because if you are out of the game, great, you've achieved something, but then you're like, you're kind of out of touch with dating like present, current day. And if you're single, you know, it's hard to say that you're also an expert because if the goal is meeting someone and you haven't, then you're giving advice. So what I love is just like, I'm just giving my opinion. These guys are giving their opinion and people can take from it, you know, what they want.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think it brings up a good point, right? Like dating presently is an insane endeavor, especially now that we are quote unquote, you know, post pandemic, or we're getting close to the end of
yeah.
it.
Yes.
Don't know when this will air, hopefully in better circumstances. But what do you see now, like in terms of dating? And I think you and I are in a special position because we're in Miami where COVID doesn't exist for some
right.
reason. Right. And that's so crazy.
It is bizarre. And yes, for sure.
And so I feel like we've gotten a jump start on like what life will be like in New York in, you know, come this summer, come fall. What are you seeing? Do you see a shift in people's behavior? Do you see a shift in your behavior?
Yes, definitely. I think there's going to be two types of people. I think there's going to be like the uncaged animals that are just like, I need to like make up for lost time. Anyone in sight is like a victim in a like chasing way, or like anything's fair game. And I just like need human interaction. And then I think the other side will be people that are like longing for companionship that they didn't have. And I think I'm hoping, and I think I'm seeing this like a little bit more, that there's like better communication of people approaching it like, hey, what are you actually looking for? And I think that's really nice. I think it's like, if people are just like a little more sensitive, I think a lot of times with how things have been in COVID and even pre-COVID, when you meet people in all these different ways through technology, it's like everyone's a stranger. So you can go in and out of communication. You can just ghost, but you don't feel bad because you didn't really know them. Or you can be interested in, you know, a few texts or like good banter, and then someone like drops. So I think hopefully people can just be a little bit kinder and just like, I don't know what that is actually. So again, the non-expert in me is like, well, it's very difficult to say to someone like, you're amazing, but you're just not amazing for me. And I guess that's nicer than just a fade out. And I think there's a difference between like fading out and then purely ghosting. So I think it just, to answer your question, I think it's going to be like uncaged animals, people looking for more companionship, and then hopefully people just communicating more and just being like a little nicer.
Well, how has it been personally for you this past year compared to before?
That's a good question. As far as dating goes, so yeah, I was like a born again, non-dating COVID person for many months. And funny enough, like I definitely would have some like long lost dates, you know, resurface with like a hey stranger or some of those, which, you know, I think people were like longing for attention. So some of those were like nice to hear, some whatever. But so I think there was that, but then there were also a lot of dating apps that had these like virtual dates. I sort of found that like kind of interesting. So we started this thing called Mailroom Mondays, and we just felt like all these people wanted to connect, whether they were really wanting to date or not. There were just all these people that were like lonely and home. So we would match people and do like these virtual speed dates. And that was really fun. And the people were like, I think some of them were good matches, and some were just like people talking about how they were holding up. And I think that was like something that we saw that we thought was really interesting. On a personal level, I think virtual dates are are good, but I would like definitely put an end time to them, like because then you could get stuck. And there were a couple of people that were so nice, but like, you know, just not exactly like the fit. So, but then you're just like kind of stuck talking. And so I think like that was another thing. And then coming out, and then I actually did like a few like park bench dates in New York, which I thought were like cute. It reminded me of like old fashioned, like all you're doing is just getting to know someone and then you're talking on the phone. And so I actually loved some of those aspects of it. And then here in Miami, it's like you said, it's, I think like for us, I think we were doing a lot outside and there were a lot more options and people were just more active, like even setups, which I think are also a whole other great avenue. And so even just like meeting people through friends, dinners and things like that. So for me, it's been a mix of like highs and lows of, you know, being single in a pandemic is definitely heavy at times. And I think it's a good time to reset and also think of like some of your patterns, like, wow, why was I doing that? And if I really want this, why am I dating that? You know, and not that there's anything wrong with these various types because you can have just fun or you learn from them. But I think for me, it was like a good time to reassess and kind of look at like, all right, when I'm back in the game, like what am I doing and not doing? And even like from the show, one thing I'm not doing is like any gray area. If you're telling me like you're asking me out and you're asking me what day works and I give you a day and then you kind of throw back like a maybe, you know, that should work. And it's kind of like, nope, you need the time and the place. And if it's someone, you know, I think there's a lot of that, like not quite flaky, but not quite committal gray area. So for me personally, that's like one of my lessons is like, all right, if we have the plan, I'm in. If it's like kind of not quite confirmed, then I'm not interested. You know, so I think it's just taking more ownership of your time and your energy of like who you are giving the time of day. And when you do that, it's like not only empowering, but it's also like you're taking charge. You're more in control of your dating life than someone else dictating if they're weaving in and out of interest.
Yeah. And so, I personally think that people need to like post or even during, like, it's always good to be a busy person. Like, if you are somebody who has stuff going on for you, like naturally, I think it will like you don't deal with those sort of gray areas more because you're like, okay, well, I have dinner plans after this drink date or I have plans this weekend, but why don't we do something next week?
Yeah. I think too, like some of us, even like as New Yorkers, like when you, if you look at like the landscape, right? Or the manscape, we could say, but if you look at the landscape as like, sorry, that was really bad, but it felt right at the moment. If you look at like just the landscape of New York and you're like, wait a minute. Okay. So if I'm single and the ratio of men at some point was like 5 to 1, I don't know what COVID has done, but like 5 women to each man. Okay. So if you're just doing the math and you're coming from like that place of lack, then you're saying like, okay, so that's kind of strike one. Strike two, like, you know, who's straight, right? And like, okay, that's another pool. And then like an age range. Okay, that's something else. So like, obviously, the selection becomes like a bit smaller. And one of the topics for one of our shows is like, how can you demand what you want when supply is low? So I think when you come from this like mindset of this like place of lack, then you're kind of like, you're giving someone, you're cutting them a little more slack. Cause you're like, well, this guy is like in his 30s and he's like seemingly nice and interesting and he's hot. And like, so like, when's the next time that's going to come along? And so when that guy like does some like questionable things in the beginning, you're just like giving him more room. And then your values are like slowly changing a little bit. And so that's where I think it's like, you know what, if we just like twist the story, like the plot line a little bit, the plot twist, and we just say like, okay, you know what? Sure, that's like kind of what we're up against, but like there's a lot that can happen. There's not just, it's not just purely like an odds game. There's like, if you believe in like serendipity and meeting people and like who knows what COVID's changed. And I think if you just can change that a bit to like owning your dating versus like cutting slack where it may not make sense because you're thinking that the odds are against you, then you might have different results.
Do you think that, like, that sort of filtering down of what you're looking for is a good thing or a bad thing?
I think like knowing what you're looking for in a short list with like a value system is key. I think like it can be dangerous when you go into like exact height, hair color, you know, if religion is important to you, great. If you want to share that with someone, I get that. If you want to have a certain lifestyle, a certain type of family, like those are values, right? So I think like there shouldn't be room for flexibility if you're not a match in those cases. But I think, you know, for me, I think I always thought like outgoing is really important because I want to have fun and I want like the fun husband and I want, and so there's that, but like what comes with a really outgoing, attractive guy are certain qualities that would not fit other values that I have potentially, like loyalty or, you know, so it's like, actually maybe in being open to like a guy that isn't totally introverted and like hiding in a corner, but someone in the middle who can like flow in and out of both in different situations could be really interesting for someone like me. And so I think it's like having a short list, but being open and also like going on feeling too, because a lot of times we just like over plan. So yeah, I think like chemistry and a short list is a good combo, coming from a non-expert, I repeat.
Are you on any dating apps?
Well, fellas, you can find me on, I'm just kidding. So I am, I do like apps light, and then I go in and out of like, I'm never gonna go on apps, and I delete them or I like just give myself a cleanse and then I'm back on. It's because I want to be open, but I don't want to like look for it so hard. And I do believe that mm-hmm. like setups are ideal, and just meeting someone in real life where you can see like in a natural habitat, like how are you with your friends, how are you with my friends, and I love that. So because we can't have that, and if we want to be efficient, I am currently on Raya. I'm on a couple other ones. I find they each sort of have their own personality and types of inventory. So, you know, it's all part of the job.
I would love to hear what you think each personality, each dating app has.
Okay. So I'm on four. Off and on, of course, don't judge. And I think some people say like, oh, this one is the hookup app and this, that I don't subscribe to just cause like, you don't really know who's on there. It might be like a generalization, like someone got married from Hinge, but someone like hooked up on Bumble or, you know, it's like, I think it's all relative to like, again, the inventory. Okay. So Raya, I think is like, it's like sort of certain days it's like exciting and there's like interesting people on there, obviously, and there's celebrities and like if that's your thing. But I do see a lot of like 40-year-old DJs, like that kind of thing, a lot of tattoos, a lot of like overdone photos. So for me, like some of it's comical, to be honest. Some of it is like hot and interesting. And I've also like peaked. So there's like, there's a field where you can like be like find like work collaborations or something. So at one point when we were doing casting, I was like just looking. So it brings up like men and women. So I saw like the girls on there and I was like, oh, no wonder. Like the girls are like tens models. So like, it depends on what you're looking for. If you want like a hot, fun time with a good looking guy, or like a celebrity, if you have that checklist, like you want to take that off, like a bucket list kind of thing with a celebrity, then I think it's great. There might be like a wild card in there, so I don't want to discount anyone from it. But like that one seems like a bit far-fetched to me. Then there's like Hinge. I don't know. People say that they do really well on it. I have really weird people on that one that I'm served up. So there's again, like, one in every 100 seemingly like normal. And then there's like a plumber, an electrician, and like a, but I don't know, it just, no offense to that, but like, you know, just not quite like the same type of people. Then Bumble, I feel like, is pretty good, except Bumble in Miami is like muscles. I'm, you know, coming from New York, I'm not used to like tan, muscular, like guys on like hoods of cars. I don't know. So like, that's a learning curve, if even I'm running. And then, but then there's like a couple normal guys mixed in there. So, so I think it's like, I think it's a total like experiment. I think when you're in the right headspace, like jump on and explore. When you're not, when you're like, oh my God, is my person on here? Like, that's to be like the danger zone. Cause then you get like the excitement, potential disappointment. And a lot is like riding on a match and or like communication. So yeah.
Do you think that there are like, do you think on dating apps, it pays to pay?
I think if you want to be more efficient, like I normally don't, but I, one day I was like, you know what? Like, let me just see. There's like boosters and there's like, oh, I actually did, because there was one guy on Bumble. He expired, or no, he was expiring in like exactly an hour. And I was like, oh my God, like this guy seems great. I don't want him to expire. Like, what do? I think I can like extend it. So this literally happened like the other day. I jump on and I pay like whatever it is. Like, this guy is a gem, age appropriate, like cute, seemingly like charming. I don't know. And then I get the like, I don't know what it is, $30 a month or something. And then I go in and I'm Googling, like I'm on my way to a meeting. And so I'm like, the clock is ticking. I'm like, how do I extend the match? And it turns out that you can't on the other end, which does make sense. Like, if they don't within 24 hours. So then you can see who likes you, which if you need an ego boost, sounds good. But then when you see some of the people, you're just like, oh, is that where I am in life? Like, this guy is like 8 beers and he's like has a stain on his shirt and he's still like sprawled in front of this weird car. Like, and then you go into a spiral and it can be worse. So, oh, and by the way, good news with like, I think it's literally like 12 minutes to spare. That guy reached out on Bumble. So I got the membership. Amazing. I know. So I didn't even need to extend. So to answer your question, I think like, you know what else you could do? I think you can like extend for like a month and then cancel it. Like, just see what headspace you're in. If you want to be efficient, I think there's like, go all in maybe. But if you're possibly like looking, then I don't think you really need it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because this is the first time in my life I've considered paying for a dating app. I mean, I've been on Tinder since I was 16. So
yeah,
it's just like I've never had to. And I feel like for a lot of women, it's like you don't have to because you get a lot of matches. But
yeah,
more people that I've talked to who have tried. And I sat down with my friends and had dinner with them recently. And it was a friend of mine who had met her current boyfriend. And now they live together, like a whole thing, very successful relationship. Mm-hmm. They met on Hinge and they mm-hmm. had both been paying for it. And so they are sitting there at dinner trying to convince me to pay for Hinge, which I'm in the same boat as you. Like, Hinge has not been the best platform for me. I feel like I
yeah. get
like weirdos on Hinge.
Yeah. Yes.
And part of me thinks that's happening now because I'm not paying.
Well, if you think of it this way, like Hinge and all those dating apps, they're still a business, right? They want exactly. you to stay on. I think Hinge's, I don't know if you and I were talking about this, but like Hinge's like tagline is like, you know, created to be deleted. Yeah. Like, no, it's not. Please. Because if so, like, why are you sending these like people that you, that matches that you spoke of and I've seen? And by the way, like, if that's their business, they want subscriptions and they want your data. And so like, yeah, I don't know. So if you're paying, is the question, if you're paying, are you getting served better merchandise?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, potentially.
Let's do only an experiment.
One way to find out, really.
Okay, let's do an experiment because it's almost May. So like May 1st, let's both go on Hinge together for 1 month and just see what the talent looks like and pay for it. Yes. Let's subscribe for 1 month officially and see what happens.
I would be down to do that because I also feel like it's good content. It's like, yeah, pay for, you know, each app for a month and see.
We could do a follow-up episode of our findings. You know, we're doing it. We're doing it for everyone else. It's a selfless act. We will find out. We'll get to the bottom of this.
I know. And I feel like I just went on a rant about how, like, all of these dating apps are, they're capitalistic because that's the kind of society we live in. And you have to pay money to get better goods, and they're a business and they need to make money. Like, it all makes sense. I feel like I've talked about this before on the podcast. I am very adamant about it, but I've never paid. And that's actually false. I just started paying for Locks Club. Which, I mean, for my listeners, like, no, I'm not Jewish. I don't know if, like, I went into Locks Club thinking that I wasn't going to be very successful. And it hasn't proven to be, like, that much different for me. I joined it because, like, shout out, one of my friends is on the OG Locks Club team. So I was like, let me give this a shot. It's by no means bad. And I think you're on Locks Club as well.
Wait, right? So yes. So that was my fourth one I forgot to mention. So yeah. good honorable mention. I think it's interesting. And I think they're starting to do events, which could be interesting to see how that goes. And we can report back on that too.
Yeah, that is something else that we can report back on. So TBD, I do think that events, especially this summer, are going to be really, really, like, important and big. And people will be way more willing to, like, come out and meet people in new ways and, like, be more social than just, like, me and my group of friends are going to just, like, stick together when we go out. I feel like there's going to be a lot more intermingling. So that's something to look forward to.
Yes. Agreed.
So we've talked about dating apps, but have you ever met, like, a substantial relationship off of a dating app?
I had a COVID relationship off of a dating app.
Ooh.
And it started, I actually loved how it started, and the person's a great person. It just, like, they need a lot of, I think they need a couple steps to be, like, relationship ready, and they're very in tune with that. So no offense to that person, but, the coolest part about it was, like, we went out one time on a park bench, and it was great. And I had left for a month the next day. Actually, almost 2 months. So we talked every day for those 2 months. And it was, like, so old school. And it was, like, really nice and fun. And, like, it was a great foundation, I think. So we ended up, we met on an app. And I think that was my only, like, relationship from an app. Other ones have been just, like, a couple dates and then, like, nothing that interesting. But also, like, it's a lot of work to actually, like, get to the meetup point. And whether anyone agrees or not, for me, like, my time is very valuable, whether it's, like, I'm going to spend time with friends or I'm going to work or, you know, going to work on mailroom or whatever it is. So I kind of just want to get to, like, happy hour. I want to have, like, one drink and see if it's interesting. So if there's, like, a bit of banter back and forth and, like, or, like, a quick virtual chat, I have only done a handful of those. So I feel like maybe it's a little weird to just be like, can we have a virtual talk? I don't know. So what I prefer is, like, if there's a bit of back and forth, whether it's banter or it's just, like, good conversation and they have some depth or there's, like, similarities in the important things, I'm quick to be like, happy hour next week, even if they don't ask, which I just only because, and I only do that for apps because I just kind of want to, like, be efficient and move on. And, like, if it's too weird to meet up or, like, you're non-committal, okay, next, like, I'm going to delete and move on. Otherwise, it's just, like, it's clutter. And it becomes clutter, like, in your headspace. And, like, you know, you're saving a little spot for someone that's, like, comes and goes. So I'm kind of big on that respect of a first-time meetup of just, like, throw it out. And if, you know, it's that bold to someone, that's probably not my person anyway, because I think, you know, my imaginary boyfriend or partner would be like, that's cool. Like, I didn't even have to like get the balls yet. And like, why not just have one drink if I'm writing this girl a bit, you know?
Yeah, totally. So if you've only had like one relationship off of an app, how were you meeting your past like relationships?
In the wild mostly. So, just being like out and about, whether that's like being out with friends or even like, you know, like a networking event or, what else? Occasionally like a setup that's warranted, not like, oh, this person is like single. that's it. You must meet. So yeah, usually like my comfort zone, although it's probably like not everyone's comfort zone, is just like in real life, and through different events and just being social.
What's like your best advice to people who like want to be that person? How, like, for men or women, like,
yeah,
how is the best way to be social, put yourself out there?
I think just like go in, just say anything, because it doesn't matter what the first thing is. Like, it could be a little bit like safe or lame, like, hey, I'm Mindy, or hey, like I try to like make fun of someone. And again, maybe my approach is not like spot on, but like some of my past things have been like, I did confess this before. So I'll just do it again. But like, sometimes I would purposely bump into someone, not too hard, but just sort of like an arm check, like, oh, sorry about that or whatever. And then the person could be like, oh, no worries. Like, what are you drinking? Or, you know, whatever. That's played out well. That's like the ones that like, you're not sure what to say in the moment. You just like need something fast. So just like a quick hip check. But not too hard. Like if there's two guys that were standing next to each other and they don't look alike at all, this was like by default. This is not like I don't have like my go-to lines. I just, whatever I'm inspired by in the moment. So that one could be like, oh, are you guys twins? Mm-hmm. Like one guy's like 5'5" and the other guy's like 6'4", and then they'll laugh. Oh, hey, I'm Jed. Or like, oh, you know, so, or even just like, hey, what are you drinking? Or like, I just, anything, or just, hi, how's your night? Like, I just think that people spend too much time and energy thinking of like the perfect one liner. And also like, I sometimes worry, like, is that someone's boyfriend? Like, what if he's like going out to the bar, like getting his girlfriend a drink and not? So I don't like say anything that's like questionable. I might just be like, hey, how's it going? Or like, how's your night? And if the person is like, you know, or what's more embarrassing is if they're not straight, you know, and like they're just like not at all in your camp.
You're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. You're like, hey, because they're like so well-dressed and you're like, oh my God, your shoes are amazing. And then you come to realize like maybe they're your new friend, but they're definitely not interested in your kind. So I just think like, even if you're not social, just say like, hey, how's your night? I think that's like, that could go any way. That could be your like new guy friend if there's not chemistry. But the worst thing you can do, I think, and I've done this before, is like, I'll see someone like, you know, I think eye contact is great. So like, if I see someone and there's like eye contact and like, oh, like, is he going to come over? Like, I would rather the guy come over. But if I'm about to leave and he hasn't, mm-hmm. I'm all like, I've come to see over time that the regret of wondering like, oh my God, was that like my person? And I didn't say anything. And like that, like, that's so my type. And then I think the vibe was there. So in that case, like, just go up and be like, hey, I'm leaving. Just wanted to say hi. Like, that's a little bold. So like, if that's not quite in your nature, I think it's just like, hey, see where it goes. Cause I think it's worse to not say anything and wonder and just push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit than like just, you know, meeting your person or a new friend.
Well, this is a question I forgot to ask you, and I asked this question
to
everybody. Where do you like to go out and where do you like to eat in the city? What are some of your spots?
Okay. So in New York, right? Not Miami.
Mm-hmm. Not Miami, in New York.
Okay. So I'm sort of, I liken myself to be like a mid maintenance kind of girl. So I can go like, I like to like go big, or I also like a dive bar or like a slice from, I had this pizza place open next to where I used to live that was 24 hours, that was very dangerous. That became one of my favorites. And then I'm trying to remember. Oh my God, I'm rusty because it's been a little bit since I've been in New York. Okay, so also like breakfast is a big, I should call it late breakfast, like lunch, brunch, I guess. I love, oh my God, what's it called? Okay, can I give you hints and you can help me think of it? West Village. Yes. I think it starts with a B.
Bouvette.
Yes, girl. Yes.
That right, yes. Here.
Oh my God. I was just like, I think it's a B. So Bouvette, yes. They have like this like mushroom situation. I'm not a vegetarian, by the way, but there's like this like breakfast thing that like, anyway, that's a great one. What else do I like? Okay, so sushi, big fan. And where's the place that has the, oh my God, I am literally brain dead with this. Okay, where's the place that has like the tastings, like the little trays and you put
Kazunori?
Yeah. Like
the hand rolls?
Oh, okay. So yes, that's one of them. But there's another place that has like the trays and it's like all the different kinds of sushi.
Sugarfish.
You're close. Okay, I'll get back to you on it. It's like, it's a sampling of all different types. And
Sushi,
okay, I'll get back to you on that.
I feel like there's a lot of like omakase places that probably do that.
Yeah, it is omakase, but it's like in little like rows. Okay, that's definitely not helping. Okay, I'm getting back to you on that.
Okay.
Okay.
What about like nightlife? Where were like your usual haunts? If any.
So, yeah. So like what I love about New York the most is like I try to do different things constantly in different neighborhoods. So like I say Soho House because like I love the fact that you could go to Dumbo House and that's like one type of experience. And then Ludlow House is different. And what I love about it is I just meet a lot of great people there. So it's not like saying Soho House just to be like, oh, you know, it's the best place ever. But it really is just like awesome people and different vibes in each house. So like I love doing like long dinners with friends and new friends. Where else? Okay. And then like one night we could end up at like Spring Lounge, which is a questionable move, but just like beers at the bar. And then like Lower East Side and Brooklyn. Like, so yeah, I mean, I'll have to get back to you on like my Cheers. I'm clearly rusty after being gone for a very long time. But yeah, I'll send you my favorite side.
We're about to go back.
Totally. And even just like being outside, like all these bars between like, West Village and, what other neighborhoods before I left was I seeing like a lot of activity? Chelsea, Lower East, like I think there's so many outdoor bars and like day drinking to just meet people. I think like nightlife coming back will be a bit slow, but I think like some sort of hybrid for the summer will be there, and then hopefully things will open up as things get better.
We end every segment with a section called Shots. And it's just rapid fire this or that questions.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. Bring it.
All right. Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Both. Sorry.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
I can do both.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Money or fame?
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to go money.
Coffee date or drinks date?
Drinks date.
Drinks first.
Yeah, exactly. It's right on point with your branding.
What is your favorite season?
Fall. I kind of like spring now too. I'm going to go fall though.
What would you rate yourself out of 10?
12.
What is your drink of choice?
Okay, so I get made fun of a lot for this. Okay, I'm going to give you two. The safe bet I do is Casamigos Blanco and soda. The one I get made fun of often, but I'm okay with because it's that good, is like for certain occasions, I like a Bailey's and coffee, you know, like by the fire or like a cold night. And everyone makes fun of me and then they ask for a sip and then they get it.
If you had a boat, what would you name it?
Ladies first.
Can you tell my listeners where to find you?
Yes, I would love to. So on Instagram, we are Mailroom Official, and Mailroom spelled M-A-L-E. Get it? So Mailroom Official. And then we are on YouTube on our Mailroom page and on Spotify and iTunes for our podcast.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.